This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Since ChatGPT hit the scene almost 3 years ago, there's been growing debate about whether it's helping us learn or hurting our ability to think for ourselves. Now, a study out of MIT claims using ChatGPT can cause some cognitive debt, even making it harder to recall what we've written or stay mentally engaged. But is it really making us dumber or just showing us how education needs to adapt? Well, joining us now is Dr. Vitomir Kovanovic, Associate Professor and Associate Director of the Centre for Change and Complexity in Learning at the University of South Australia. Vitomir, welcome to Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the study. MIT researchers, they looked at how people wrote essays with and without ChatGPT. What did they find and why is it getting so much attention?
So effectively, what the researchers at MIT did, they gave, actually they had three groups of participants, but we'll ignore the third one for now. So they gave them to write three different essays. So they came three times into the lab, they did three different writings, and with or without ChatGPT. And eventually, they were, after each session, they were asked to recall, do they remember, can they quote something from the essay, have they followed a specific structure of the essay, and so on. And then they also look at their brain connectivity, neural activity through EEG device effectively that was hooked to their heads. And what they found, that the main thing they found was that was about the different connectivity in the brain effectively when you use and when you don't use AI, which is normal because people were not going to be writing the same way. And in fact, they noticed also that over time, as people were engaging through three sessions, they were changing their approach as well. And that's kind of adjusting to the task itself. You become more familiar with what you're doing and so on.
What about thinking deeply? Some people are latching onto the idea that ChatGPT, using it too much, makes it more difficult to think deeply. Is that actually what the study shows?
Well, not really. What actually the study was designed is for, three different writing tasks, but they actually had something that looked almost to me personally, almost like a tack on that was added at the end, was the fourth writing session. And that was the one that got most attention, was people were swapped. So whoever used the ChatGPT first three sessions were writing the fourth activity without it, and who was writing on their own used ChatGPT for the fourth time. And what they found was that effectively people who used ChatGPT never reached the levels of the group without it they got in the first three sessions effectively. And their net productivity was growing from session one to two to three, and they reached a certain level, whereas the other group never replicated that level of the third session, right? So the problem they say was effectively they concluded that, although they prefaced with that's like a preliminary finding that the ChatGPT used, kind of resulted in the cognitive debt. They used it three times, and kind of the debt was accumulating, and then finally when they were, asked to do, use their brains, if you want, then they weren't able to match the other group.
So I wonder if we looked at that and we used ChatGPT over a period of, say, it's been around for almost 3 years. Let's say we've been using it for a couple of years. Will there be sort of a cumulative effect in terms of our ability to critically think and impairing that critical thinking ability?
I don't think so. First of all, there were several critiques of this study. Was for one, the problem it's really hard to show that we need to be far, far longer period. And also, in most cases, people are using it not to do the same thing, right? If we similarly, in our article, we wrote about the calculator, but I think it's a good analogy. Mm. If you were to ask do long division between two large numbers, you will sweat a bit, right? It's not an easy thing to do. Mm. I mean, it takes, you need to be concentrated, paying all the carry numbers and whatnot and so on. Whereas if you just type on a calculator, you solve it in a split of a second. So doesn't that, will that make mathematics easier? Probably not. The exams in mathematics become harder because people are expected to do more. And I think that's what happened with AI. People who used AI for the last 3 years, they were using it mostly to do things in a better way, in a sense, more efficiently, faster, with less resources, less amount of time. And if you test in those such situations, that's a completely different thing. Now, if somebody, let's say, used ChatGPT, you know, from their, let's say a fifth grader used it until now, what that would be like ninth grader, that could, I mean, result in a lower ability to code because they never developed fully. Right, they were using it in the time with the same with calculator. We don't give kids in a year one to use calculator, but as soon as you're fifth, sixth, seventh grade, whatever, yeah, we expect more, you know, complex solutions and the long division. We don't want to focus on that. So that's the same thing with people who use AI so much. They're typically using it to boost their productivity.
So essentially what we're saying is that when a calculator was introduced in primary school or high school or whenever, it enabled us to stop doing, say, worrying and doing long division on a long piece of paper, for example, and moving into something like, I don't know, calculus or something like that. So we could do more complex tasks because of the calculator. So what we're saying is potentially with ChatGPT, if we use it not for years and years since we were kids, but if we use it for a controlled period of time, we could potentially allow our brains to work on more complex tasks and let the ChatGPT do the more mundane things. Is that what we're saying?
Exactly. And exactly that's the point. So I think, for example, imagine that the task that the MIT study did instead was you're given to write a 10-page report in half an hour. It's impossible to do that without AI. And probably, and now then, and you need to argue why your report is good, and then you will see, okay, it's been generated, it's been done sloppy, but that's the reality. And then your critical thinking would go over what were the things that you improved the first, what were the things that you polished in this little amount of time you had. That would be far more realistic, and it will still be much better than the group without AI, because the task is literally impossible to do without.
If you've just joined us, we're chatting with Dr. Vitamir Kovanovic from the University of South Australia about a controversial new MIT study claiming ChatGPT could reduce critical thinking. Just on that, how do we strike, I suppose, the right balance then of using AI tools like ChatGPT without letting it do all the thinking for us so we still maintain that cognitive ability?
So I think the main part is the two different things. Like, one is in educational setting and one is in the workplace. I guess in the workplace, I don't think we have to do anything because the workplace itself will fix that for us. You will be asked to do more. And if you're able to do it in 5 minutes, the boss will say, oh, good, now you go home. No, they will pile up more work on you. So by the fact that it will be expected that you're using it. In fact, many companies like Microsoft, they're actually looking up how much people are using AI, and they're literally, you know, forcing you to use it. They will be trying to get everybody to use it as much as possible because they realize if people are not using AI, they'll be less productive, and we want them to be more productive. Microsoft wants you to use AI effectively, their own employees, because they know they will squeeze more money out of them, basically. Education setting is a different thing. Now we talk about how to train people to do something, and I think the same approach as calculators. Don't do it. Don't use it in a specific period of time. And for specific activities, you will have no, this exam or this, oral examination, whatever, there's no use of this technology because we want you to learn yourself. Military is the same. Like, soldiers are rarely fighting, you know, doing fist fight, but every soldier knows basics of you know, hand-to-hand combat and martial arts and so on. But once they passed over that first, like, training, they mostly spend with, you know, learning how to, you know, manipulate weaponry, right? That's the point. But they still have these basics. And I think kind of similar approach should be in education as well.
So using ChatGPT for the mundane tasks and using our brain for the more complex tasks, or allowing the time and the space to do the more complex tasks, is probably the best balance.
Absolutely, and making sure that the AI is introduced later. So once we, for example, introduce children how to learn basics of writing and critical thinking and reflecting on certain things, whatnot, through that's one, and then after they develop certain capacities, and now here is this technology that makes it easier for you, but in fact it won't be easier because you're going to be asked all of the assignments and things you do will be more complex.
Vitamir, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Dr. Vitamir Kovanovic, Associate Director at the Centre for Change and Complexity in Learning at the University of South Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.